الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن سيدنا وحبيبنا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وإذا سألك عبادي عني فإني قريب. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: الدعاء مخ العبادة. صدق الله العظيم، وصدق رسوله الكريم، ونحن لا ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. It is the great bounty of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has blessed us with this occasion of Jumu'ah. There are many people in the world who are unable to perform the Salatul Jumu'ah with Jama'ah. And this is a bounty that Allah ta'ala has blessed us with, which we ought to show great gratitude for. And it being the Ashurul Hurum, and we should be thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this great bounty as well of witnessing the great month of Hajj. If we look at, you know, maybe not so long ago, about 2 or 3 years ago, we will recall that we are not allowed to perform our Salatul Jama'ah. And in other countries, if you look at the Ashurul Hurum, then we will also recognize that there are other countries who are not allowed to perform the Qurbani. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His infinite mercy has allowed both these ibadahs in our country, which we should show Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala immense gratitude for. And it is almost impossible to speak about the months of Hajj, to speak about Qurbani, without speaking about the great personality of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, not only him, but also his family. The sacrifice that Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, he underwent, and the sacrifice that his family as well underwent. In this alone, just in the topic, is a lesson for us. That whenever we are choosing a wife even, that wife, inshallah, should be such a wife that she is ready to sacrifice for deen as well. And how do we recognize this? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned in the hadith that tunkahul mar'atu li arba'in, that a woman is married for one of four reasons. But we should choose that woman, fadfar bidati deen, that we should choose a woman who has deen in her life. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with a wife who was of the same caliber, was very much concerned about deen. So when she asked Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, that is it Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who has instructed you to leave us here? Then the answer that came from Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was, yes, it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who had instructed me to leave you here. But more even ajeeb, more strange and more pleasing, soothing to the soul, is the response that came from the wife of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. She, instead of complaining, says, how are you going to leave us here? What are we going to survive? Would rather tasleem. She submitted to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now this obviously is not something that happened overnight. This was years and years of tarbiyah. So then when it came to the crunch, as we say, then what she says in response, she says, then in that case Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never waste us. So here we also see that the woman should be ready to be in the service of deen all the time. And this will require immense effort from our side, that we make a lot of tarbiyah of our women folk. And the simple stepping stone of this is that the alim that a person will make inside his home. So this is the first lesson that we learn. In the life of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, there are many, many lessons that we can learn. Amongst the many lessons that we can learn, we'll cut it short due to time, or my coming late, is the aspect of dua. Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam is amongst those anbiya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala whose duas are recorded in the Quran and Majeed. At first, when Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was in need of a child or was pining for a child, then he made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rabbi habli min as-salihin, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless me with righteous offspring. So this is the first thing. This is amongst the first duas that Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam made. But together with that, many other duas that Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam made along his journey. So now inshallah we'll try in the time that is left that how we can also explore and use this great weapon of a believer that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has called it. That dua is the weapon of a believer. We see that whenever Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was faced with a situation, we look at, for example, at the Battle of Badr, or maybe on the occasion of Taif, what was it that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam turned to? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam turned to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala in dua. He begged Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. And then on the occasion of Badr again, so much dua that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made, until Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala said to him, Hasbuk, enough, you have made enough dua. So this is the extent that a person should make dua, that he shouldn't even be able to make more dua. That's the extent. And inshallah, I should feel deep inside that inshallah Allah Ta'ala has fulfilled my needs. So the question, the burning question will be that what is dua? Dua is ibadah. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has told us that dua in itself is ibadah. And the ulama explained, why is it ibadah? Allama Ibn Hajar rahimahullah mentions that there are two such ibadahs, some acts of worship, that if a person does, it creates a lot of humility within him. One is obviously the salah that a person will perform, because he places the highest point of his body, the highest point of his body on the ground. But together with that, when a person is making dua, he is begging Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whether a person is rich or whether a person is poor, we all have to beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You look at the person who has a little bit of wealth, for example. He feels a little bit out of place to ask somebody for something. Give me something. He will never do that, perhaps. And a poor person, maybe he may have done it. But when it comes to, when he knows that when I ask a person, maybe I'll ask him day one, I'll ask him day two, I'll ask him day three. On the day three, he will say, look, see, you need to find a job. You are causing me inconvenience. Do something. You can't keep on asking me all the time. But if you look at the flip side of this, when we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes happy when we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi mentions, مَنْ لَمْ يَسْأَلِ لَا يَغْضَبْ عَلِيهِ. The person who doesn't ask of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he becomes very angry of him. As a matter of fact, Muharun rahmatullahi alayhi has mentioned something very profound that he heard from his Shaykh, Hazrat Shah Hakim Akhtar Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi. Hazrat Shah Hakim Akhtar Sahib says that the person, in his opinion, he says, this is the understanding I get from this, that the person whose hand is cut out due to stealing, the reason he says that I see perhaps an ibrat, a lesson that we can draw from that, is that I feel that this person has failed to use this tool that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed him with, of asking before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore his hand is cut off. So dua is an act of ibadah which a person should be engaging in all the time. And such an ibadah that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, it is the essence of ibadah. A dua mukhul ibadah, it is the essence of ibadah. Like if somebody tells you, for example, he's giving you an entire discussion, and he says, well, I'll tell you the essence of this. So dua is actually the essence of ibadah. And in another hadith of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we learn that dua is the weapon of a believer. If you look at our entire lives, from the time that a person is born, he needs this dua. When a person is born, dua is made on his behalf. And then he grows up, dua is made for him. And then he becomes, reaches the age where he needs to get married, he begins making dua. Then after he's gotten married, the dua is made. And then when he is getting children, he makes dua. While he's living, dua, constantly dua. And when a time comes for a person to pass away, that he's begging Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes him for iman. So in our entire lives, we make dua. And the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if you look at it, it was full of dua. It was dua through and through. And the months of Hajj that we are in at the moment, the day of Arafah, the height of it, or the peak of it, is that a person will make dua. That's the main ibadah in the day of Arafah. That he goes and he makes dua, constantly making dua and asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So really the importance of dua can never ever be overemphasized. And together with making dua is that a person should adopt the means. This we understand very simply if a person has done some form of planting. That for example, he will plow the land. Then he will sow the seed. And then he will water it. Then thereafter he will leave all the affairs in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So sibla is dua. The heart of a person needs to be right first. Then he can make dua. That's the land. The heart is like the land. So then he plows the seed of dua. The seeds of dua are the hadith, are the duas that come in the hadith and the duas of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. So the seeds also have to be right. Then thereafter he has to irrigate that land. And the way of irrigating that land where he has planted the seed is the tears. When a person will make this dua in this manner, then obviously Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then thereafter he places his trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Obviously he will see the results thereafter. And there's an incident that is mentioned with regards to this. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he witnessed a few people. And they were from Yemen. So he asked these people, who are you people? They said, we are the mutawakkilun. We are those who place the trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So then Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu said, no, you are not mutawakkilun, but rather you are mutawakkilun. You are those who are burdened on others. In other words, we should adopt the means. And then thereafter place our trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the command of dua in the Quran Majid, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, قَالَ رَبُّكُمُ دُعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that you should call to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah ta'ala promises that Allah ta'ala, he will answer our duas. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of course, loves being asked. In a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we learn, لَيْسَ شَيْءٌ أَكْرَمَ اللَّهِ مِنَ الدُّعَى. There's nothing that is more beloved in the sight of Allah, more noble, more revered in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than dua. And there are many occasions of dua. Dua, normally we understand it to mean that a person should pick up his hands and make dua. That is not the only occasion of making dua. For example, when we are entering the masjid, we don't raise our hands when we are entering the masjid. There's an occasion of dua as well. After the azan, we are required to make dua, etc. There are many, many occasions where we should be making dua. And not only restricted to the time after salah, or on a big night, or on special occasions, but all the time we should be engaging in dua. And this dua, well, a person when it comes to dua, you can never ever say that dua is enough. There's not, there's no point where a person can actually say, I've made enough dua. As a matter of fact, when a person says, I've made enough dua, this is a sign that he doesn't really trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is amongst the etiquettes which Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, that when a person is making dua, first he should be, وَأَنْتُمْ مُوقِنُونَ بِالْإِجَابَةِ, that you are confident that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will definitely accept your du'as. And then a person shouldn't give up and say, da'utu, I have made du'a to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not answering my du'a. So a person should definitely have yaqeen. And when a person makes du'a in this manner, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will definitely accept his du'a. Then we should obviously inculcate the habits of du'a. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, somebody had asked him, said, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how much dua, basically the essence of it, how much dua should we make? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, no, keep on asking. So he said, in that case, then we'll ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even more. Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Allahu Akbar, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you even more. Why? When Alim was actually explaining that when it comes to the treasures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if we compare it against the wealth of a person that a person has, of course, the treasures of Allah ta'ala are unlimited. But if you look at the wealth of a person, his wealth is restricted to his usage. He can, for example, you ask a person for a certain amount of wealth, he can give you and give you and give you, and eventually he will get tired. Why? Because that usage is reserved for himself. It is not for anybody else. But when it comes to the treasures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, firstly, they are infinite. But the benefits of those treasures are reserved for us, the believers. So we should beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in dua as much as possible. And then what should we ask for? The question will be, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentions in the hadith, Salullah al-Afiyah, that ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for favorable conditions all round. So in a nutshell, if you look at the du'as of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, which are the best du'as that a person can make, the du'as of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, the du'as that are mentioned in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, then we come to a bit of four points perhaps we can round it off to. Is number one is iman. That we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for iman, for protection of iman all the time. Allahumma thabbitna ala al-iman, wa amitna ala al-iman, etc. Those type of du'as. Oh, رَبَّنَا لَا تُزِقْ قُلُوبَنَا بَعْدَ الْهَدَيْتَنَا. That, oh Allah, do not misguide us after you've blessed us with iman. And the other is goodness of this world and goodness of the hereafter. It actually comes in the hadith that the favorite dua, or the dua that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is to make frequently is, رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنًا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنًا وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. The ulama mentioned that this is one of the most comprehensive du'as of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Of course, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was jawamiul kalim. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made this du'a for the goodness of this world and the goodness of the hereafter. Whether a person wants wealth, a person wants a wife, a person, whatever a person wants in this world, if he makes this du'a, it will be incorporated in there. And then for favorable conditions, as it is mentioned in the hadith, wasallahu al-afiyah. And then death upon iman. Allahumma barik li fil maut wa fima ba'd al-maut. Then of course, whilst making dua is very important, a person should also understand that there is a method that a person has to adopt. The method of making dua is, firstly we praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by the grace of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, once we were trying to prepare this. So we thought about it, that in the salah that a person reads, there are so many praises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Perhaps this is one of the reasons why a person's dua is answered after he makes his salah. Because from the time a person starts his salah, he says, Allahu Akbar. Then he's praising Allah Ta'ala, he's reading Surah Fatiha and another Surah, Subhana Rabbi Al-A'la, Subhana Rabbi Al-Azim, At-Tahiyyatu Lillah, then Durood Sharif. And then after when he's completing his Salah, he's making dua to Allah Ta'ala. So how can a person's dua not be answered? Because he's praising Allah Ta'ala so much. But then a simple way to remember how to make dua is that you look at the words of At-Tahiyyat, that the person what he's doing when he's saying is At-Tahiyyat, the last, Qada, he's saying At-Tahiyyat, he's praising Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, the praise of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Then thereafter he's reciting durood upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then thereafter he's making dua. Allahumma inni zalamtu nafsi. So simple way that a person can remember the method of making dua is, firstly we praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, recite durood upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Of course in that we make iqrar, we confess to Allah ta'ala our wrong. Allahumma inni zalamtu nafsi, I've wronged myself. Then we beg Allah ta'ala for forgiveness thereafter. Then next thing is, we raise our hands in this manner to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, leaving a slight gap or without a gap, even both ways, the person can raise his hands and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we use the beautiful names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى فَادْعُوهُ بِهَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most beautiful and comprehensive names. Use these words to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When a person says, Ya Rabbi, Ya Rabbi, three times, then his du'as are definitely answered. Ya أول الأولين, Ya آخر الآخرين, and such similar words, names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then this person's du'as are definitely answered. And then another habit we should try and inculcate is that you should ask for yourself. Of course, you're going to do that. But ask for others as well. When you are making du'a for others, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala appoints malaika who will respond to our du'a. And what do they say when we are making that du'a? Walaka amin, walaka bimithli. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you the life that you are asking of. So very important as well. And then again, we conclude du'a in the same manner, that you praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you recite durood upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, like normally is common, سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين generally. And then you rub your hands on your face. And then Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu has narrated that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whenever he used to make dua, then he would wipe his hands on his face after he has made the dua. That is very important. And also, whilst we are making the dua, it is important that we adopt the correct etiquette of making dua. So one is, for our duas to be accepted, then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that if a person wishes for his duas to be accepted all the time, then a person should be regular with dua in times of ease as well. Not only when a person is in difficulty. Imagine you have a friend, but your friend only calls you when he's in difficulty. I mean, a bit of a jam. That's the only time he calls you. How would you feel? Imagine, we would feel that this person is not really loyal. Now imagine Allah Ta'ala, although Allah Ta'ala doesn't treat us like that, because he is waiting for us to make the dua, to turn to him. As a matter of fact, it's recorded in another hadith by Salman al-Farsi radiallahu ta'ala, who he mentions that when a person who regularly makes dua, he makes dua and his voice is heard in the skies, then the angels say that a familiar voice is calling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if a person who is not regular with dua makes dua, then they say an unfamiliar voice. This doesn't mean a person's dua is not accepted, but that means that we are not mashhurun fi sama. A person should be mashhur fi sama. It should be known that this is a one like how you get when a person goes to a particular restaurant. They say this is one of our regular customers. Now how they normally serve him, they know exactly what he needs, they see to his needs, etc. So very important. Then other, together with that, for the acceptance of our dua, is that to do some good deed before we do the good, before we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Perhaps do some, give out some sadaqah, read some durood, perform some salah, and then we make dua to Allah Ta'ala. And then whilst asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be ambitious, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will definitely answer my dua. It is not like how we ask one another, say, go to a particular person, he may see to your needs or he may not see to your needs. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will definitely see to our needs. And there is no dua that a person makes except that it's answered by the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that there is no dua that a person makes except that it's answered. So he says, imma, either Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will answer the person and give him exactly what he's asking for. But of course, a person mustn't ask for something that is ridiculous. For example, a person says to Allah Ta'ala, Ya Allah, bless me with a Lamborghini. You're asking for too much. The other is, perhaps that Lamborghini is not that Allah Ta'ala cannot give you, but there is no benefit for you in that particular item sometimes. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't give a person. We have often seen many people, a person asks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for wealth. Allah Ta'ala blesses him with wealth, for example. But then thereafter, a person drifts away from the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and eventually passing away in a condition that is not very good. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best what we are deserving of and what we are most in need of. So to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answers our dua by giving us exactly what we need. And then the other is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removes or repels a calamity that was set to befall a person. That is the second way. Or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reserves this dua for the person in the hereafter. There's something amazing about our deen of Islam, that when a person makes dua, normally you want your need to be fulfilled. But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells you, no, I will keep it for you. Like how we see a child. A child is asking for something, say, no, wait, I'll give it to you tomorrow. Then when he opens his eyes, when he sees you tomorrow, you give him the particular item, he's very happy. It's more aesthetic. Now imagine when we pass away and we see the reward of the dua, number one, and when Allah ta'ala will give us even more than we ask for. This is one type of person that Allah ta'ala promises the reward of when he doesn't answer his dua. And the other type of person, that person will make sabr. When a person bears patiently, and when he's going through great difficulties, and he bears patiently, then Nabi Sassam says about this person in the hereafter, that he will wish that he had underwent more difficulties in the dunya, because of the reward that you will see on the day of Qiyamah that you will receive from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is really an encapsulation of the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Ajaban li amri al-mu'min, how amazing is the affair of the believer. Inna amrahu kullahu khayr. all of his affairs are very good. If difficulties come upon him, then he bears patiently, and that is good for him. And if favorable conditions come upon him, that is, he makes shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is grateful to Allah ta'ala, and that is good for him. وَمَا ذَلِكَ إِلَّا لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. That is exclusive for the believer. So really, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with a comprehensive religion, and also to make sure that we take the opportunity to make du'as in the times of acceptance. One is, of course, Friday, and being the day of Arafah. All these occasions that come about, a person should make du'a, but not only on these du'as. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, إِنَّ لِلَّهِ نَفَحَاتِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has special moments of his outpourings of his mercy. فَتَعَرَّضُوا لَهَا. You must present yourself. But وَفْعَلُوا الْخَيْرَ أَدَّهْرَكُمْ كُلَّا. دَهْرَكُمْ كُلَّا. That you should make, do good deeds, be in the habit of doing good deeds, not only on special occasions, but all the time. So this should be the demeanor of a mu'min. And then the blockages of du'a, of course we know, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, and the person who eats haram, then he says in that lengthy hadith, he says, فَأَنَّا يُسْتَجَابُ لِذَٰلِكَ. How can Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the ulama normally explained, that Allah ta'ala, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam doesn't say Allah ta'ala won't accept his dua. He says it is far-fetched that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept this person's dua. The person who is eating haram, who's consuming haram, etc. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala won't accept the person's dua. And then the other is sin. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that no dua goes unanswered, provided the person doesn't make dua for sin. And then to conclude, three important aspects of du'a. These aspects, if a person holds on to, inshallah, they'll be very beneficial for him in his entire life. So number one is, if you look at the seerah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we often see that people used to come to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and ask him for du'as. So it is correct that a person asks for du'as. And as a matter of fact, Sayyidina Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala that when Uwais was a prized personality who didn't get to see Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and then become a sahabi, he told him, when he comes, then ask him for du'as. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself asked Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala for du'as. That, Ya Ukhiyya, do not forget us in your du'as. So he asked Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala for du'as. And then the second thing is making du'a. That we ourselves, of course, as discussed, that we have to be in a habit of making du'a. But one of the most effective means of getting our work done is that we earn the du'as. If you look at the life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I didn't get time to check of the sahabi's name, but there was one sahabi who served Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then one opportune moment, he brought the water for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he brought the miswak, and then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got very happy with the service. And then he asked him, Salma badala, ask whatever you want. So he thought about it, this is a grand opportune moment, so I must ask for the best. I mean, I got the company of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I'm favored with serving Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this world. Let me ask for something that is even better, that is beyond the world, what we normally call an offshore investment or an ukhrawi investment, something that will benefit me in the hereafter as well. So what he said? He said, murafaqatan fil jannah. Murafaqataka fil jannah. O kama qala li salatu wasalam. That, oh Allah, I ask you for your companionship in, O Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I ask you for your companionship in the hereafter. But then again, although Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made dua for him, that Allah ta'ala grant you that, but it was makroon with the shart. It was joined with the shart. What was the shart? What was the precondition? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, a'inni ala kathrati shujud. That you help me, and you must also adopt the means that you make a lot of sujood, whether it be nafl salah or being regular salah. And another dua, another occasion we also see where Sayyidina Anas radiallahu ta'ala, he was also among those who served Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for many years as well. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made particular dua for him. He said, Allah ta'ala bless him in his wealth, Allah ta'ala bless him in his life, etc. And he said, I had seen the blessings of the duas of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we should also see how we can be of service to others as well, and then thereby earning their duas as well. Allah tabaraka ta'ala grant us tawfiq and the ability to practice on whatever has been said. Kindly excuse me for being late. I just took a little bit of ill. Allah ta'ala reward us. Subhanakallah.